I'm so excited to see so many people in the room tonight, because I remember when a few years ago when we started doing these things, everybody would be in the, you know, in the bar and stuff like that, and people didn't spend the time to come to these breakout sessions afterwards. And I see today a hunger for knowledge. And so what I want to do is pass along to you some of the things that I've learned. And if I didn't say another word, what Keith told you is all you need to do for success. But we'll talk a little bit about recruiting and prospecting. And I'll tell you, prospecting is actually the easiest part of the business. And a lot of people don't understand that. They think prospecting is hard. And the reason that they think prospecting is hard is because they don't know how to do it. And what happens is that people try to recruit people into the business before they've identified them and established them as a possibility for the business. You're looking for people that you can have fun with, people who will don the mantle of leadership. Okay, but you have to find people that want more out of life than what they currently have. And how do you do that? Let's see what we have here. Let me run into common mistakes, okay? This is a new slide program. I haven't used it on your own. Why do people have problems recruiting? And one of the reasons is that they try to recruit before they've established somebody as a possibility. But another thing that they do is try to recruit on their own. I had a fellow who was a friend of mine, a very dear friend of mine that I've known over 50 years. He was very successful in his own business. He started out as an insurance salesman. He became a financial planner. And I told him, I said, Bruce, you need to get into this business. This is an incredible business. It's the most fun that I've ever had. And he said, okay, and he hopped on board. And he called me, you know, a few weeks later, and I told him what he needed to do. He needed to find some prospects and some possibilities and turn them over to me. And he called me a few weeks later, and he said, this just isn't working. You told me that this is fun, but it's not fun. And I said, well, Bruce, it's because you're not doing the business. And he lived in another state. And he said, I am doing the business. And I said, well, I find that hard to believe because you should be successful. So I flew out to meet with him. And lo and behold, he opened up a loose leaf book. And in that book, he had about 50 pages. And each page was a page on a prospect. He had their business card stapled in there. He had a bio on everybody. And he had a diary of the number of times he contacted them and the things that he had discussed with them to bring them into the business. And he said, Frank, I don't understand it. I told them everything they needed to know about the business. And I said, my God, that's the answer. You told them. You don't tell people anything. And you see, that's the mistake that we all make in this business, is that we come in and we see other people that are successful and we get so excited about this business that we want to tell them how exciting it is, what the potential is, and what they need to do. But the answer is they need to tell themselves those things. They need to identify within themselves a reason for doing the business. And you see, my friend Bruce, and he wasn't the only one. There was a number of people in this category who started to tell people stuff. You know, there's an old saying, you can't say the right thing to the wrong person and the wrong thing to the right person. I disagree with that. Every person is the right person. What you have to do is learn how to ask them the questions for them to have it awaken in their own mind that they want something more out of life than they have. And that's the mistake that people make. Okay, another mistake that people make when they come into the business, recruiting on your own. This business is a third-party business. I don't care how good you are or how sharp you are, and this is a problem that I've had. Okay, I worked this business for 3 years and built it to almost $1 million. 14 years ago, my heart pooped out. And I'm not ashamed to admit, I've done very little for 14 years, and I've made about $10 million, which tells you the power of this business. But I haven't had the stamina to do the business. But one of the things that I learned was that along the way, the easiest way for people to build the business is to use a third party. And what's happened over the last 2 years is that I've brought in about 20 people. This has never happened to me before. Because I always believe in recruiting above myself. Why would I want to bring anybody into the business that's dumber than me? Because I'm not as smart as everybody thinks I am. You know, I'm not. So what I want to do is use other people to talk to them. Because what happens when you try and bring somebody into the business on your own, you put pressure on yourself. Oh my God, you know, my credibility's on the line. You put pressure on them. Oh my God, you know, I love Michael, but if I don't get into the business, Michael might be mad at me. And so what happens is you have to learn how to shove this off on a third party. And initially, like I talked about today, if you were at the last segment in the session over the Coliseum, is you turn them over to somebody who may have a similar background. They like to golf, or they were a plumber, whatever the background. You don't even need that. All you need is any third party. But what happens is anytime you turn a recruit over to the third party, is that it takes the pressure off of you and it takes the pressure off of them, and they're more willing to listen, and they're more willing to have an open mind. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of people think is that you have to use somebody that is making a lot of money. Wow, I'm going to turn him over to Frank. You know, the guy's making a ton of money. He's made over $10 million in this business. So, now, you can turn him over to somebody that's brand new. Hey, Bob, you know, here's John. John's new in the business, but John's just looking at John. Tell Bob why you're looking at the business. So as John tells Bob why he's looking in the business, all of a sudden Bob starts thinking, those things are important to me. And it becomes important. But if you talk to somebody that's already in the business and already making money, they can say, well, I had my own business, I worked for somebody else, and I came into this business because it relieved a lot of those problems, and I now have what I want, and I work on my own. You can also use a third party when you really become successful and understand the process. Hey, you off the street, I don't even know who you are. Have you ever thought about owning your own business? Yes, no, or maybe. It doesn't make any difference what they say. Well, I have a friend here who's looking for something else. Can you tell them why you have thought about opening your own business or why you haven't thought about opening your own business? Well, I want to be my own boss. I want to work the hours that I want, or I don't have the money, I don't have the confidence. It doesn't make any difference what it is. All you're trying to do is get a third party to reference that. Okay, so that's recruiting on your own. Going after the same person. I know somebody who would really be successful in this business. Everybody would be successful in this business. How can you not be successful in this business? What is this business about? It's about helping people to save money on stuff they're already buying. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. Well, what's going on in your business? I'm working on a couple of people. What does working on a couple of people mean? You don't work on anybody. You find somebody who wants more out of life, and if they don't know that they want more out of life, you educate them and stimulate their thought processes that they're not 10 years old anymore. when they wanted to be a fireman, a policeman, a doctor, a nurse, or whatever they wanted to be. You educate them to the fact that there's more out of life than what they have, and then you turn them over to somebody else. But no, I know somebody that would really be good. And they keep going back to that same person over and over again. The last thing, and probably not the last thing, but one of them is the failure to follow up. You've done 90% of the work when you've stimulated interest, but you don't follow up with them. You don't get back to them. You've done 90% of the work, you need 10% more of the follow-up, and you can get them into the business. And people don't do that. Another thing is, people try to recruit before they've established the fact that somebody is a possibility. Why would you want to bring somebody into the business before you know that they're looking for something? And here's the key. They may not know that they're looking for something. Your job is to help them understand that there's more in life than they have. Because nobody is 100% happy. That doesn't mean that people aren't happy. I was happy being married to my wife, Gingy. I was happy in corporate America. But there was things that I wanted more. I wanted to spend more time with my wife. Everybody wants more of something. But a lot of times they don't recognize that. And so your job, and it doesn't happen overnight. I can't give this to you in one session. It's an on-the-job training. It's an apprenticeship program. You have to continue to work at it. But once you get it, it is so amazingly simple, it's unbelievable. You have to learn to stimulate people that they want more out of life. And you know what? More out of life might not mean more in America. And so what you have to do right from the get-go, and this is where most people, and I dare say just about everybody in the room, blows it. As you got Market America right on the forefront of your mind, if I can get this person in the business, I can get rich. Or if I can get a couple people in, I can start to make money. You have to forget about that. And you have to see what people want in their life. Market America may or may not be the answer. If you truly put your focus on what you can do to advise people or help people or direct people into something that is going to give them what they want, then you've accomplished your mission. Because you see, your mission in life, and I'm a little older than most of you, but when you get to be my age, you want your life to mean something. And my life is about changing other people's lives and making them happy. Whether Market America is the answer or not is irrelevant. If I can do something to make somebody happier or feel better, then I've accomplished a mission. If Market America fits in there, great. If it doesn't, that's great too. And so one of the neat things about Market America is that you meet so many different people, and I've had so many different connections, that if somebody wants to do something like get into the movie industry or get into teaching or something else, I may have the connections to help them that has nothing to do with Market America. Then I've satisfied my life's purpose. And so what you need to do is take the focus off of yourself and learn to listen to other people and see what they're talking about. You have to learn to chill when you talk to people. People get wound up. Oh, my God, I got a hot one. You know what I mean? I'm going to zero right in on this person. Forget about whether or not you think they're interested in Market America or not. It has nothing to do with Market America. It has to do with changing lives. And this is one of those things that sounds like a theoretical concept. But once you get it, it makes sense. Keith has it. He understands it. That's why he had such an incredible presentation. It's about changing people's lives. Do you think if Keith could change somebody's life and it didn't have something to do with Mark and America, he wouldn't do it? No. Keith's a hunter. He's a fisherman. He does a lot of different things. If he could plug somebody into something and help them to be a hunting guide or something, he would be totally elated with that. And you see, that's what you have to do. You have to learn to chill and take the focus off of yourself. And that's the biggest mistake people make. If they get in, I'll get rich. Everybody else is doing it. Why can't I do it too? Forget about the money, because the money will come. You need $5,000 a week to flush a center. At the end of 3 years, Gingy and I were doing $500,000 a week. $495,000 we, quote, weren't being paid for, but it doesn't make any difference. So it wasn't about us. It wasn't about, you know, sneaking up and collecting a few BV, because that stuff is going to happen. You know something? There's probably 200 millionaires in my organization. Every person that ever left our organization and quit would be a millionaire today. So you don't have to have the focus on you. You will be taken care of if you help other people. See, here's what you need to do. You need to focus on other people. You need to talk to other people. You need to ask other people questions. When you take the focus off of you and you talk to other people, they will bring up their needs, wants, and desires. Once they feel comfortable with you, they'll tell you what is missing in their life. And the mistake that a lot of people make is that they jump right in on the solution. I did a meeting one time up in New Hampshire. I guess I was in the business for 2 or 3 years. This was a while ago. This might have been like 1995. And I did this meeting, and we were in the hotel cocktail lounge, and they had those real high bar tables. And I guess I had about 12 people around. And they were saying, "Frank, we just don't get it. We can't get anybody in the business." I said, "It's not that hard. Everybody's a candidate." And they said, "Well, you know, that's easy for you." And I don't even know how much money I was making. Now I said, no, let me tell you how it works. We will grab the next person that comes by, and I will talk to them, and you can see how it works. And so they said, "Okay, fine and dandy." So a girl happens to come by, and she happened to be a server. But I didn't put any parameters on that. She didn't have to be the cocktail waitress or anything. It could have been anybody. And I said to her, "Let me ask you a question. How long have you worked here?" And she said, "I don't know, a couple weeks or a couple months, whatever it was and everything." And I said, what we're interested in doing, I said, "You've been here for a while. We would like to go to a restaurant that's outside of the hotel. Can you recommend one for us?" And she said, "I really don't know any." And I said, "No kidding." I said, "Why not?" She said, "Well, I've worked here for a couple of weeks and everything, but," she said, "I'm not from here, and I don't know any other restaurants." And I said, "Well, no kidding. Well, how did you end up working here?" And she said, "Well, I'm in a hotel training program." And I said, "Well, no kidding. Well, you've been working in a restaurant for a while. I guess you know a lot of people." She said, "I know everybody." She said, "Because I've been in sales, I've been in reservations, I've been in something else." She said, "Next I have to do housekeeping, and then I have to do something." So she said, "I know everybody in the hotel." And I said, "No kidding. Do you really like your job?" She says, "No, I hate it." I said, you got to be kidding me. And she said, no. I said, well, how did you get into this? She said, my job, she said, or my college degree was in hospitality. And she said, I wanted to go into the hospitality arena, but what I found is that it takes 10 or 15 years before you don't work every night and every weekend. And she said, and that's not what I'm looking for in my life. I want something else. And I said, no kidding. I said, well, have you ever thought about opening your own business? And she said, yes, as a matter of fact, I have. I said, well, why haven't you? She said, well, I'm concerned about the startup costs, and I don't know anything about business, and I would need the training, and I don't know exactly what I would do. Well, before I could say anything else, everybody at that table dove on her. And within 10 seconds, she says, this sounds like a pyramid. I'm not interested. You see, they didn't follow through on the questioning process to stimulate her to the point that she was interested in finding out more about it. And that's the mistake that I dare say most of you probably make. You jump the gun. I got a friend here tonight, Hank Rothenberg, that I could not get up here on stage. He's trying to slide down in his seat. And he will tell you that I never told him anything at all about the business. I found out that he was looking for something else. And I brought him to the point where he asked questions about it. And so the challenge that I issue to you tonight, to each and every one of you, you can approach somebody in a direct manner, but to do an indirect approach, I challenge you to bring somebody into this business 5 minutes. I'm not even started, Dennis. The challenge that I ask you is to bring people into the business without telling them anything. Learn to ask questions. Learn to ask questions. And what happens is as you ask questions, you begin to stimulate people's thought processes and you find out what they want. I say one of the key things is learning to listen, but one of the key things is learning to ask a question and get an answer. And you ask a question, and you get an answer. And you ask a question, and you get an answer. And what you're trying to do is wake up people. Because if you can get them excited to the possibilities that there is more in life than what they have, and that their life is going through that hourglass at Mach speed, they will start to pay attention. And you continue that process, and this is where people make the mistake. You continue that process until the prospect makes a decision to investigate his or her needs, wants, and desires. Oh my God, Frank, this what I really want is to spend more time with my husband or wife, to travel the world, to become a scratch golfer. It doesn't make any difference what it is. And I don't know how to do that. I have a friend that figured that out. And you turn them over to the third party. It's so amazingly simple, it's unbelievable. You introduce them to the third party, and when you bring them in the business, you tell them everything that they need to do to be successful. I've studied martial arts for probably about 50 years, and one time, and I've studied a myriad of different martial arts. I studied under an Oriental master, and for 1 year, he taught me a technique, and one day he told me, you're doing the technique wrong, and I said, this is the way you told me to do it. He said, I wanted to make sure that you would be loyal to me before I told you the correct way to do it. I thought, I just pissed away a year of my life. learning something the wrong way. Thank you. Tell people what they need to do to be successful. You know, because I'm telling you, people that are success-oriented want to know that. I'm missing my last slide, but that's okay. Let me see what I missed here. Well, let me tell you something about these top executives. I brought in a bunch of top executives, and every one of them was a vice president earning a couple $100,000 a year, and they didn't do the business. And I couldn't figure it out. And what happened was they came into the company, and they had an ego problem. An ego problem, and I don't say that in a negative way, they were so successful, they had so much self-confidence that they thought they could do the business on their own. And you really have to subjugate yourself to this until you learn that the third party really is the key. And once people figure that out, they'll do it right. Three-way calls. Put somebody on the phone with somebody else, whether they know how to do the business or not. If you learn how to ask the question, you want to bring in people that are better than you, people that are smarter than you, and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? It has to be people that are willing to stick their ego in their back pocket, learn how to do the business, and follow the program. The business, it's not hard. Chill, take the emphasis off yourself, put it on other people, and there is no business in the world that's finer than this. There's no downside to it. You're helping people to learn how to buy a product that they're already purchasing. You're getting them cash back, and you're getting paid for it. So don't wind yourself up, and don't beat people up to get in. One of the things that people say, oh, my friend Bruce, I think I told you about this. He said, man, I told them everything they needed to do. That's it. You don't tell people anything. You help people make the decision in their own mind because it's always their decision. And if they make a decision to come into the business, you've got it made. You can't make the decision for them. You don't have the right to do that. So let them do it, but educate themselves. Learn how to ask questions. I challenge each and every one of you to bring somebody into the business without bringing up Mark in America. And if you can do that, email me and I'll send you one of my books for free. There you go. Thank you.